Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, August the 5th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I opened the show with word that a couple of high-ranking state Democratic lawmakers are contemplating further regulations on those controversial automated license plate readers, or ALPRs. Republican State Senate member Dr. Jeff Gordon weighed in on that ALPR controversy as well, while ABC's Diana Paulson dropped by to talk about the previous night's big primaries. Finally, we, of course, welcomed Hearst Connecticut Media's Dan Haar to the show with his weekly update. Don't worry, we're here from the government. Yes, yes, don't worry, because we're here from the government. I'm sorry. Should I not be so gosh darn cynical when I open the program? I'm sorry. How are you? 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. And yet, another day happens where there's another twist and turn in this license plate reader story. And I know people get on my case and they write me text messages at 333-9422, talk or text. Oh, you're doing the license plate scanners again. Yes, because it's a big story. Get your head out of the sand. And now the people that rule us in Hartford, they see an opening. Oh, yeah. They sniff an opening. They're going to come in, trotting in on their great white steed, and they're going to fix it for all the municipalities, just the way the dominant party in Hartford fixes a whole bunch of stuff. This from the Connecticut News Junkie, from a news release. I read this earlier today on Bob Duff's side. Mr. Duff, Democrat, Norwalk State Senate member. He is the state Senate majority leader. He's a very powerful legislative leader. So let's go over this, and let me give you my thoughts on this, and I'll be as serious as I possibly can, because the cynic in me is having a tough time restraining himself. State Senate Majority Leader Bob Duff, Democrat Norwalk, and Milford Democratic State Senator James Maroney, been on this program a lot, not this program, I'm sorry, on this radio station. I know he's on with Melissa a lot. They are calling on cities and towns to voluntarily pause the installation of all new automated license plate readers and flock cameras. The Senate members plan to introduce legislation in 2027 to further strengthen privacy protections for residents and tighten how Connecticut regulates the technology. Oh, what could possibly go wrong? Now, we already have laws on the books. They were passed in the last session. But I'm sorry, I know, what's that thing about all good intentions, yada, 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 I don't remember the rest of it. Maybe somebody could text me the all good intentions quote, because I sniff that here. And Bob Duff and Jim Maroney also plan to ask the Department of Emergency Services and Protection, get this, to survey every city and town in Connecticut for the number and location of flock cameras within their borders, giving the state and the public a clear picture of how far the technology has spread. You know what that also allows the ruling Democratic Party in Hartford to do? It's going to bigfoot cities and towns into saying, well, you know, you've got a few too many of these cameras up in certain neighborhoods. What do you mean by that, Senator? Well, you know, the underprivileged people. Folks, don't doubt me on this, because we heard the same slop when the speed camera law was passed. Remember that? And there are certain aspects of that law, if they were still in there, I assume they are, regarding how many cameras could be put up in certain census tracts, in certain neighborhoods, because of a certain number of, a minority representation and all that, if I remember this correctly. Don't think this is not going to happen with these plate readers also. Bob Duff, Jim Maroney also plan to ask the Department of Public Service, Public Protection, to survey every city and town in Connecticut for the number and location of flock cameras within its borders, giving the state, meaning the General Assembly and the ruling Democrats, and the public a clear picture of how far the technology has spread, and also letting the criminals know exactly where these license plate readers are. The call comes as communities across the state raise questions about the reach that these cameras have and the surveillance they enable. Now, again, we already have laws on the books. We're starting this lunacy like, oh, my God, this is the Wild West. Now, while I mentioned to you previously that these laws need to be looked at and maybe fine-tuned, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Because I see a power grab. Maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, and I'll have to apologize to Messrs. Duff and Maroney. But this, to me, this doesn't pass my sniff test, my smell test. Connecticut already has enacted new rules on plate readers as part of a broader law on government accountability and federal immigration enforcement. See, this is the other thing, too. The leadership in Hartford is going to say, well, you know, the people need to know. No. They also are getting a little antsy because, you know, they don't want illegals caught. They'd rather have illegals killing police officers in this state and, you know, with their girlfriends on motorcycles early in the morning. I shouldn't say that. But you know what I'm driving at here? There's always this spectrum of immigration and this and the other here. We already have a major act that was passed under Public Act 2614, which the state enacted this year. We already have rules on license plate readers as part of a broader law on accountability and federal immigration enforcement. The framework set a default retention period of 21 days, down from 30. They limited real-time and bulk access to the data unless tied to a documented case-specific request. So basically, they've already, to some extent, tied the hands of law enforcement on this. My gut feeling is here they want to tie it even more. Why else would they do this? Because they want to make certain people happy. Here's what I think on this. Let the cities and towns handle it. They're having meetings. They're having comments on this. Hartford has already passed a tightening of the register of the information. It was 30 days. We've tightened it to 21. We can only share the data or the data with Massachusetts, with Rhode Island, and with New York. We cannot share it with ICE. We cannot share it with the feds if they're looking for a woman who went to have an out-of-state abortion. That's already on the books. What more is Hartford going to do? I don't want our state government telling individual cities and towns what they can do here. It's none of their business. It is none of your business. Until and unless a federal court says, hey, these databases are patently illegal, they patently violate the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution against unreasonable search and seizure. All right, if that happens, fine. I've been saying that. I think I'm pretty consistent on that. But here's everybody glomming onto this, trying to look like a hero, when the process is working. And come on, you don't mean to tell me. I mean, let's be honest here. Please. Everybody in Hartford at one time or another wants to look like a hero. Well, we sure clamped down on those license plate readers. Wait a minute, you already did it once. You took the limit as to when they could hold the data from 30 days down to 21 days. What are you going to make it 14? Are you trying to obstruct the police? Because that's what this is going to turn into here. This is going to become a big cause for the CCLU, the ACLU, the NAACP, all your con. There are too many minority drivers being stopped. We don't want these cameras in neighborhoods. And this is the first step. Am I sitting here saying that Hartford should not have an eye on this? No, I'm not saying that at all. But you already passed. It's right here in the release. Public Act 26-14, which is already in effect. Why are you rushing into this? We had a bunch of police in an editorial piece the other day illustrating how useful these license plate readers. But I'm telling you, I really think the more I look at this and study this, folks, I'm telling you, maybe you agree with me or not, I think there are people who would rather crime take place than have these license plate readers. Are you one of those? You tell me. So a couple of major legislators, State Senate Democratic Majority Leader Bob Duff of Norwalk, Republican, check that, Democratic State Senate member Jim Maroney of Milford, teaming up together in a news release earlier today saying, hey, they are asking, now they don't have any legal authority to force this, but they are asking cities and towns to hold off on any more further expansion of these license plate readers. They call them Flock cameras. Again, Flock is just one of the companies that do this. There are five or six of them all around the country. And a lot of places are doing this, more and more all around the country. There are thousands of these cameras because the cops like them. The cops cannot have, you know, officers on the street running around looking for suspects before they develop a timeline as to, you know, who they may be looking for. Now, am I sitting here and saying the state should not keep an eye on what's going on? No, of course not. I'm not saying that. But we just passed a law. We just passed and just enacted a law. So if you remember, the General Assembly already cracked down on this. Under Public Act 2614, Connecticut set new rules on license plate readers as part of a broader accountability project. The default retention period is only 21 days, down from 30. All right, so we already cut a week off of how the material can be retained, and that's, I guess, a week less than cops will be able to easily access this stuff. The state already restricted real-time bulk access to the data unless tied to a documented case-specific request. You can't share it with immigration and ICE. You can't do it for reproductive care. All that is fine. Can we see how that works first before opportunistic politicians come swooping in there and saying, ah, I'm going to be the great white steed here? And I'm not saying that anybody in Hartford, Democrat or Republican, shouldn't be watching this. But pump the brakes here. This is not 1984. This is not George Orwell. Will everybody calm down? WICC. Can everybody just calm the freak down? Let's wait for some federal court rulings. If cops are doing the wrong things with this data, you do what has been done to police all around the country. You fire them, you discipline them and fire them and prosecute them. That's it. Well, you just love big government. No, me, a big government guy, really? But I like common sense. I tend to be into common sense every so often. And I don't assume, I don't take a Google University law degree and suddenly say, well, these are patently unconstitutional. It may be, it may be not. Meantime, police all around the state are using these systems to solve crimes. Like the murder, the alleged murder of an elderly man in Milford the other day. Like the fact that some idiots tore up a big field at Cheshire High School. They were dumb enough to have their vehicles in the field of sight of a license plate camera. Oh, guess what? The cops were able to find them. They didn't come after you. They didn't come after you because you made a bad right turn somewhere. They went after criminals. Welcoming to the program here, regular guest of ours here in the afternoon and on the station as well, 35th District, GOP State Senate member, Dr. Jeff Gordon on the phone with us. Jeff, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you today?
Great, Jeff. Always good to hear from you. Thanks for taking the time. Wanted to get your opinion on a news release that came from a couple of gentlemen you work across the aisle from, Bob Duff, the Senate Democratic leader of Norwalk, and Jim Maroney of Milford, asking municipalities, Jeff, to stop the new installation and activation of these Flock cameras, or Flock type cameras. There are numerous manufacturers here, stating that they want to improve safeguards regarding what happens with this information. But if I'm not mistaken, there was already a public act done last session about this, Jeff, correct?
Yes, there was. There's been work that's been done to update the laws to further strengthen data protection and privacy concerns, while at the same time trying not to interfere with legitimate law enforcement use of the cameras, such as to find missing people, to try to investigate crimes. So, yes, the legislature has done some things this year to follow on prior work.
Jeff, call me a cynic here. A lot of people do. It's part of the reason I'm here in the afternoon, just to play devil's advocate sometimes. But, you know, Jeff, not that everybody in your body in the lower chamber of the House in Hartford isn't, you know, soaked in well-intentioned here. But I'm just, Jeff, a little worried here that it's another case. Maybe you may not agree with me, but when the state tries to Bigfoot what local municipalities think might be good for them, I get a little queasy about this. What, especially when it comes to maybe Bigfooting law enforcement. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I do share your concern. I think we have the legislature by the Democratic majority has done things that have over time limited and hurt good law enforcement in this state, and also have taken away local decision making from people in their own communities. I've said this many, many times, including on the Senate floor. The people of Connecticut know best what is best for the towns in which they live. So I think we need to be careful about, you know, stepping too much on local decision making. We already know there's many communities listening to people in their own towns who have decided, no, we're not going to put these cameras in. Mm-hmm. That's local decision making. Do we have to have certain laws statewide for data privacy and that type of concern? We do. And what I've been advocating for is let the towns continue to interface with their people to decide what is good or not. But let's have some public hearings, not rush into decision making, but have public hearings to hear from people and find out, do we need to do anything or not? But also make certain that we respect the towns.
Yeah, Jeff, and for example, I know in this public act already that was passed up there a few months ago, the retention time, I guess, for some of this data was shortened from 30 days to 21 days. My fear is, and again, I'm just a dope here on the radio, but my fear is that going to hamper police even a little more if, say, some members of the General Assembly say, well, let's clamp it down to 10 days, Jeff, or 14 days. And I just have a fear that people's emotions, whether they're legislators or citizens, might kind of creep in over their logical brain parts. You know what I mean?
Sure. And I understand that. I think we do want to respond to our constituents. But what I've been advocating for is, before we start rushing into saying, oh, we're going to already start to change the law next session, why don't we first hold public hearings?
Yeah.
I'm a member of the Public Safety Committee. Let's hold public hearings. Let's hear from people about what their concerns are. Mm-hmm. Maybe the current law we passed this year already addresses it. Let's hear from them, but let's hear from law enforcement. Your example is well taken. What happens if we make a change and it hampers law enforcement's ability to investigate a domestic violence event or find a missing child? We don't want to interfere with law enforcement that way. So we need to gather a lot more information. I believe that before you start writing a law, you should be informed. Why don't we do that by meeting with our constituents, hearing from them, and then we'll be the wiser about what do we do. Maybe we don't need to do anything. I don't know yet, but we need to find that out. And that starts with engaging people in law enforcement.
Yeah, Jeff, and I was saying tongue-in-cheek before, just to wrap up here, you know, and there's a quote in that, I believe in that news release about, you know, Connecticut people knowing best or whatever. Well, Jeff, if Connecticut people know best, they are constantly amazed and aghast when I tell them that, you know, you may know best being a Connecticut resident, but we actually have a law in place that won't allow a police officer to stop somebody, right, if they think they're smoking marijuana. So there's a little disconnect on that about this who knows best on law enforcement, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I got to tell you, the laws over time that have severely limited certain things police officers can do, and at the same time weaken what judges can do holding criminals accountable, that's, you know, what we see from the majority party, and that's not what the people of Connecticut want. We should stop having government think it knows better than people. That's why I want public hearings. Let's hear from people and hear from law enforcement and inform ourselves. That's what I'm doing as the state senator in my district.
Dr. Jeff Gordon, Republican State Senate member, District 35, eastern part of the state. Jeff, thank you. It's always a pleasure. Take care, and I'm sure we'll have you back on this. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Dr. Jeff Gordon, practicing physician, too. I believe he's a cancer specialist and also a state Senate member, district number 35 in the great sovereign state of Connecticut. Boy, you've been hearing about Michigan, a weird House race and a really important Senate primary on the Democratic side last night. Watching both of those, ABC News midterm reporter Diana Paulson on the line with us. Diana, good afternoon. It's Paul in Connecticut. How are you?
Hi, doing well. Having a long night.
But you know what, Diana? There's something about, I covered election nights dozens of times. There's something that's great about it until you realize when you're done, you're exhausted.
That's definitely right.
Right. A couple of things last night. This victory by Dr. Al Sayed over a sitting member of Congress. She's a centrist. He's more of a progressive. He's not a DSA person per se. But a lot of progressives are saying, here we come. And a lot of the centrists are saying, hey, you barely won this race. Pump the brakes a little. What are your thoughts on that race?
There's sort of two competing narratives here. There's the centrist saying, hey, you were really, really confident heading into this election about a landslide victory, and you won by a point.
Yeah.
You know, let's calm down. It's a swing state where the last Democrat won by 20,000 votes. Al Sayed, on the other hand, is saying, look, there was $60 million in outside spending against me blanketing the airwaves across the state. I beat a sitting member of Congress as a progressive in a swing state. You know, maybe that's worth taking a look at as a potential powerhouse for the general elections in November. Mm-hmm. We also saw a really good night for progressives across the country last night. With the exception of Missouri, we saw a DSA-backed member win in Michigan's 7th district, which is expected to be super close in November, and a DSA member beat an incumbent congressman in the 13th district in Detroit. So an ascendant movement.
Yeah, and with the Al Sayed race now there's all these predictions, Diana, of, well, you know, a lot of Democrats, a lot of centrist Democrats, the old line, the steady as their hand, steady as they go Democrats, they'll just vote for the Republican. I'm not too sure that's going to happen there, but there's quite a buzz about that, isn't there?
I think this has been a hard-fought, really long primary that has gone on for over a year, and I think it's going to take Democrats maybe a little while to get their ducks in a row. But Haley Stevens endorsed immediately after the race call this morning. Chuck Schumer endorsed immediately after the race call. So did Governor Gretchen Whitmer. There seems to be a very concerted effort to get everyone in the line real quickly because there's less than 3 months left to Election Day. Michigan is a late primary, and they've spent, you know, the past year fighting each other and not the Republican. So they know they have to get it together and quick.
And the other race here, this just now, I was reading your piece on this, a candidate who dropped out of the race beat a Trump favorite in the Michigan GOP House primary. How did that happen?
This is one of those times where you're sitting at your computer on election night at midnight and you're going, what am I looking at right now? How is a guy who, you know, we considered a non-entity because he dropped out of the race again a month ago, who raised I believe, $1,800 total. He submitted a handwritten FEC filing because he didn't know how to use the website. He endorsed one of his opponents in this race, and he gets 50% of the vote. I've been talking to a lot of sources on the ground who say that this is maybe an example of overconfidence by the Trump-backed candidate here. His name is Amir Hassan, who thought he had it in the bag and didn't do that much spending. It's still kind of a mystery why he won and not the third candidate in this race who he endorsed. But the Republicans seem to be embracing it. They say, this is our candidate, this is who voters chose, and we're going to try to figure out how to make a campaign for a guy who seems not to have been running one in the first place.
Yeah, $1,800 on an election night, that's not even like half of the catering bill for the press hangout.
His opponent raised $700,000 in the same time period.
Wow, that's amazing. Diana Paulson, ABC News, midterm reporter. Diana, thank you. We appreciate the time. Take care.
Of course.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah, every Wednesday, midweek, right around this time, Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media, drops by to give his outlook on the big stories. Mr. Har, good afternoon, Dan. How are you?
Good afternoon. What's in the news today?
Well, that's why I bring you on to talk about it. Another poll in the governor's race. And you think Josh Elliott will outdo this poll? Give us some thoughts on that.
What? I mean, he polled in the 20s in this race, the margin of error being about 3 or 3.5 percentage points.
Yeah.
So low to mid 20s. And that was our poll, CT Insider and WFSB and Sacred Heart University.
Yes.
Don't let me say the wrong partners here.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, he's been very, very aggressive in Fairfield County since the poll was in the field, ending July 26th. The poll came out at the beginning of this week, and it was in the field some days earlier, as polls do.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is that. Another is the poll isn't a sort of an esoteric political point, right? To the extent that someone who's new and different brings in different voters, Josh Elliott hopes and expects to bring in some unaffiliated voters who are disgusted with both parties. And no polls, they seek registered voters. That's what generally polls do.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. And while these are registered voters unaffiliated, when they say, are you a Democrat? And you say no, they move on to the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's polls are notoriously weak on unaffiliated voters to begin with. And he believes he's going to bring in a lot of people registering at the last minute as Democrats in order to vote for him. Now, he's not going to do as well as he thinks he's going to do, which is to win.
Yeah.
But I don't think I don't believe he's going to win the race, but I think he's going to do better than these polls showed, not because of the fault of the polls, but because of those factors and others.
The new spot that the governor unleashed at him with New Haven Democratic State Rep. Toni Walker, and I saw her and I said, boy, she was really, really a powerful spokesman in that spot, Dan.
Yeah, the governor kind of threw her under the bus a little bit when we said, hey, what's going on here? That's pretty vicious ad there against a guy who had been an ally of Representative Walker's.
Yeah.
So, and that was at his rally yesterday.
Yeah.
Taz and I from the Mirror were there, and he sort of threw her under the bus and said, well, that was really her speaking. as in, that's her take. And it's like, okay. Okay. So we, of course, saunter over to Representative Walker, who concedes that, yes, she's been allied with Josh Elliott, her colleague on the Democratic side, on the liberal wing of the Democratic side for some years now. But she now maintains that, no, he really wasn't with us on ICE and he wasn't with us on this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are. And the subtext here is that the entire establishment of the Democratic Party, regardless of whether it's left or center, there's not really there used to be a couple of conservative Democrats, but let's say left or center, is lining up behind the governor.
Yeah.
Right. And so the entire institutional support that's one of the reasons why, even though the poll, our poll, said that Josh Elliott would beat Ryan Fazio. That's largely because of party affiliation. Fazio is going to have the entire Fazio may do well against Lamont because he has the entire Republican establishment,
sure,
such as it's worth in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And with Trump not on the ballot, but in the White House, the Republican establishment is worth less than it was, obviously.
Yeah. Dan Harmon.
I shouldn't say obviously. Some people believe that that's not true, but they're just wrong.
Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media, is the guest. You wrote about, and a good piece, about the two Melissa Ramirez's here. And it's funny because right before I read your piece in the day previous, I woke up and everybody's exploding with, oh, did you know this woman was also registered to vote? I'm like, wait a minute. Melissa Ramirez, I mean, that's not exactly a not common name. And it turned out that discretion should have been the better part of valor on this one.
Maybe. I mean, they're still out there. There are still people on the far right out there claiming that they are the same one and the same person, even though the Secretary of the State's office, CT Insider through me, and the Danbury police,
yeah,
and some others that I can't name, who are in authority positions,
yeah,
not that I am, I've all reached out to this person in New Britain who is the legally voting Melissa Ramirez. So it's not an unfortunate coincidence that two Melissa Ramirez's were both born on the same day in July of 1999. But it's unfortunate that when one gets dragged into,
yeah,
not dragged into, when one gets accused of manslaughter in an accident, in a crash, that the other one has suffered.
And finally, Dan Harn, I talked about this with you previous, and you probably saw it earlier today, kind of a co-signed press release from high-ranking Democrats, Jim Maroney of Milford, and of course, Bob Duff of Norwalk, asking cities and towns for a timeout on these license plate readers until we can put more safeguards in, ostensibly on a state level on the data, which they kind of already did with this one bill. But what do you make of this? And is this Hartford threatening to Bigfoot local municipalities here on this? How do you view this?
Do you want the front door story or the back story?
Give me, but let's start with the front.
The front door story is that the Senate Democrats may be saying, hey, gee whiz, we went too far in allowing this, and now we want towns to act on their voluntary basis to hold up on this now.
Yeah.
Let's take a breather, a moratorium. And that makes good sense. That's good policy. Holding up may make good sense.
Okay.
Other people say that these speed cameras, look, let's separate flock from speed
cameras.
Yeah,
they're two different things. Yeah, yeah.
Right. You know, there's concern about flock because of who they are, mm-hmm, and where the information might be going.
Yeah.
But let's talk now about just the speed cameras. That a lot of people think this is a good thing. Washington, D.C., I think many of us who have driven in Philadelphia, I got two tickets in the same mile stretch of territory. I looked at it, like, what? Are you kidding me? In like the 2000 block of Roosevelt Boulevard, I got two different tickets. So, but the backstory here is that Democrats are getting the crap beat out of them on the door-to-door.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's really, that's the backstory, is that this is turning into a potential election issue that's going to potentially hurt Democrats. And this may be damage control.
Yeah, it could be, because then again, you know, you see the Police Chiefs Association, at least on the license plate reader cameras, Dan Haar, and the field that got tore up in Cheshire, the arrest made and the home invasion here in Milford, of the cops saying, hey, wait a minute, let's pump the brakes on this a little bit, because these things help us get criminals and solve crimes. So, man, this is talk about a rock and a hard place on this, Dan.
Well, the Republicans are the Republican voters are the ones who don't want the cameras.
Yeah, I know.
At least as far as the speed cameras are concerned.
Yeah.
So it's a complex issue, and I have to say that I haven't really fully delved into it. These are more on some issues, such as the previous one we just talked about with, mm-hmm, Melissa Ramirez.
Yeah.
I'm pretty well versed on. This is a new issue for me, and I haven't really.
Well,
my sense is that it's more complicated than the political apparatus is able to manage right now. And they can manage it during a session, but this isn't during a session, and this is really exploding over the summer.
All right, good stuff. I'm sure you'll get deeper into it. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, as always, we thank you for your time. Have a happy weekend. And slow down, Dan, will you? Jeez, hit the brake every so often, okay? Will you do
that? I'm hitting the brakes.
All right. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, take care. Bye-bye.